Let them have it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Four overtimes. Give me a break. Like, at what point do you decide, hey, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, soon to be 1:30. I'm going home. I can't deal with this. I needed, last year, game one, I was there with my sister and my nephew. And, like, I had to be on the air at 2 o'clock. I'm like, this game's got to end here. I really don't give a crap who wins at this point. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's go home. Unfortunately, the Rangers ended up losing that game. But they did win the series. I did make it home for the show on time, but barely. I mean, my goodness. Four overtime. Look at all these guys on the... I mean, you got Gretzky there. Is that Biz Nasty? Who else? Oh, Hank is on set here. I'm just watching the NHL on TNT broadcast. Nobody wants to be there. These guys don't want to be there. Just, please, mercy. I guarantee you they're all saying during the game, within and on, they're saying, somebody score a freaking goal. Let's get us out of here. Everybody's saying it. But the players are so tired. They're so shot. Everybody's just playing not to make a mistake. And this is why it goes on. What is going to happen first? Will I be off the air? Or is this game going to end? I mean, think about that. That is ridiculous. This game started at a normal time, I'm assuming. What would it start? 7, 8 o'clock? You have any idea, Alex? Alex Azorm is with us. You have any idea what time this hockey game started? Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming it started at 8 o'clock the latest. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, Anson Carter there, Hank, Gretzky, and Biz Nasty. On his set, just basically saying, come on. Wrap this thing up. I guarantee you the fans there. Like, if you're a fan there, you got to be saying to yourself, I mean, we got to leave. Like, I got work tomorrow. Yeah, it started at 8. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, how long do you stay? Now, it is the playoffs. It is the Eastern Conference Finals. So, I mean, you'd have to pry me out of the garden in the Eastern Conference Finals. But still, and you got stuff to do. You're not, the best case scenario, this game ends immediately when the fourth overtime begins, which starts at about 12 minutes or so from now. You're talking about, let's say the game ends at 1:30. I mean, you're not getting out of there by the time it takes to get out of the building, get in your cars, the drive home. You're talking about getting home 2, 3 in the morning. And that's if it ends early in the fourth, which it might not. Goodness. I mean, they're only supposed to be 3 periods in hockey. They are now entering the 7th period of this game. That's wild. Vinny is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Got a lot to say about the Mets. And
go ahead, Vinny.
I just want to talk about, I know, you know, we talk about some of these decisions being hard. To me, a lot of them are no-brainers. I mean, a guy like Daniel Vogelbach, let's be honest, Sal, the guy should not be on a baseball field. Tommy Pham, he was signed last minute. I mean, nobody wanted the guy. And we're really stressing about these guys should have roster spots. I mean, Mark Vientos brings the life that we didn't have life for 2 weeks. And he hits that home run, and Buck doesn't play him the next day for guys like Tommy Pham and Daniel Vogelbach is very frustrating. I mean, I just think, well, Buck loved that 2022 team, and I get it. But the reason that 2022 team was good is because we got ahead early, we had great starting pitching, and we had a cheat code in the closer that just shut down the game when we got a lead. I mean, this is a different team.
Yeah, but, I mean, I didn't have a big problem with Vientos not being in there, but clearly Buck is sending a message here. Now, what that message is, I'm not exactly sure, but the way that it was explained is that Billy Epler made the decision to bring Vientos up here. It's going to be up to Buck Showalter to figure out the lineup. So Buck is trying to get at least one of his veterans going because he knows that at this particular point he's going to need him unless they call up Mauricio. And if it's not Mauricio, they're going to have to figure out, is Escobar going to get going, or do they want to get Tommy Pham going, and then you can move McNeil at second. McNeil can play second or left. It's a matter of finding which guy can do the opposite. And
well, I think with Mauricio, I'm sorry to cut you off, Sal. But Mauricio, you don't bring up Mauricio. I'd rather see Escobar every day than see Boga back in Finn. I think that's.
I think we're getting to that point. You've noticed that we've seen Buck's trying to get Escobar going, because if he does, then you could now limit yourself to where, especially now. Like, look, Viento should be the primary DH, and I don't know if he's going to do that or not. If he doesn't, it's a mistake. Forget seeing all these guys regularly. Make them bench players. Give them spot starts. If it is going to be Escobar, and I'm fine with that, McNeil in left, Nimmo in center, Marte in right, Escobar at second base, and you know the rest, and Vientos at DH. That would eliminate Canna, Vogelback, and Pham, who I've seen
more than enough of. Canna, I don't mind. If they McNeil's a stud, he's a ball player. He could play left field one day and play second base the next day. I mean, you could platoon, you say Canna plays one day in left, and you put McNeil at second.
Fine.
Say Escobar plays the day at second, you put him in left. I mean, I don't mind that. But the days of Vogelback and Pham platoon and a DH, I mean, Tommy Pham can't even throw a baseball anymore.
You don't want Pham, Vogelback, Escobar, Canna. You don't want three of four of those guys in the lineup. And honestly, you don't even want two. You don't even want two of them.
A bunch of Mets fans. I mean, we pray. We pray that we don't see that again. Like tomorrow, Greg Gwynn today. I do not want to see that lineup tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to have Vientos in there tomorrow. He'll have Vientos and Alvarez back in there. The issue is that the Mets have players that are just not productive. Escobar, Canna, Vogelback, and Pham have gotten way too many at-bats this year and have just not produced. That's the problem, Benny.
I mean, and you knew. I mean, it wasn't a surprise that this was going to happen with Vogelback. I mean, listen, Vogelback seems like a nice guy. He's a good clubhouse guy. I mean, the guy's not a ball player.
By the way, he's got some of the better offensive numbers. And thank you for the call, Vinny. We appreciate you checking in. Good stuff with your Mets. Vogelback's got decent offensive numbers, especially in comparison to the rest of the team that has just not been delivering. The problem is he's not a ball player. First of all, he goes up there looking for a freaking walk. It drives me up a wall. Enough. Go swing the bat. But aside from that, he's so bad, he can't even back up Alonso at first base. Vogelback cannot play the field. Vogelback cannot run the bases. Vogelback does not hit with power. Vogelback does not hit for a high average. Maybe higher than some of the other averages on the Mets, but he does not hit. 240 is not a high average. So again, I ask, what does he do? As I've been asking for 2 years, what does Vogelback do? Oh, 374 on base. That's great. What does he do with it? Enough of him. Pham is fine as a fourth outfielder or fifth outfielder. Canna, same thing. I feel like Canna could give you quality at bat still and maybe come up with a big hit here or there, put the bat on the ball. But between, and then you throw in Escobar, all four of those guys have failed miserably. All four. Excuse me, I shouldn't say that. Three of those four have failed miserably. One is just not any good, but they think he's good. Because you can't say Vogelback has failed miserably. As a matter of fact, he's basically doing exactly what is expected. They didn't expect him to do the other stuff. I just want somebody to do the other stuff. They'd rather have this guy walk. You know, like even if it's first and second, two outs in the seventh, Mets down two runs, Vogelback, instead of swinging the bat, trying to do some damage, he'll pass the baton to the eighth hitter. Drives me up a wall. But he's not the problem. He's just a part of the construction of the roster problem or of the lineup problem. Time to trim the fat. Clean this up a little bit. Nimmo, Lindor, McNeil, Alonso, Beatty, Marte. You got to have Vientos in there at DH. Alvarez got to be catching. And then you could live with one of Pham, Canna, or Escobar. Kevin is calling from Queens. What's up, Kev?
Hey, what's up, Sal? I finally got through. Speak to you, man. I just want you to know that I listen to you every day, but your schedule is killing me.
Why?
It's hard. I'm working. I make nine. You know?
Oh, okay. So you like it better when I do the overnights?
I like the midnight la cara. It's way better. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Listen, kudos to Buck and the Mets. Now we can rest in peace a little bit and keep focused on playing the young ones. Bring more reason. That's it. I agree with you. You shouldn't call him Vogelbach. You should call him, what's his name? Daniel Walker. That's his name.
Daniel Walker. Yeah. Daniel Vogelbach. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Danny Walker. That's the only thing he knows how to do.
Danny Walker. It drives me nuts. I don't want to pick on the guy, but come on. I mean, I tell him right to his face, okay, you have a problem with what I'm saying? You think I'm being overly critical? What do you do well as a baseball player? Like, what do you do well? Because I can name, as a talk show host, like, there are certain things you're supposed to do to be a good talk show host. Like, you know, you want to talk about a player, you're supposed to be a five-tool player. Well, there are things as a talk show host that you need to do. I can name a few things that I feel like I do. He can name one thing that he does as a baseball player. Of the five tools, what exactly tool does he possess? What tool is it? What, to walk a good plate discipline?
Imagine his nephew asking, hey, Uncle Bogey, why you only walk? Why can't you just swing the bat? Huh? How can you answer your nephew that?
That is funny, Kevin. I love the way you said that. Hey, Uncle Bogey, why can't you swing the bat?
You're a big dude. What's wrong with you? Yeah. Are you scared of the pitchers?
Yeah, he's scared to swing the bat.
Tyler Miguel, I know he hasn't been doing well, but the numbers don't lie. He deserves to be in the rotation. Peterson, I'm sorry. Put him on the bullpen.
No, bullpen, Peterson, forget it. Peterson in the minors. I don't want to see Peterson ever again in the Mets uniform. And I don't think you're going to have to.
So who are you going to bring?
Let's hope. If things go the way that they're supposed to the rest of the way, you know, Carrasco is coming back. He will make the start tonight. Scherzer, Verlander follow. Tyler McGill's in that rotation. Joey Lucchese is in that rotation. Like, they should be fine here. And hopefully you get Quintana back. That could add another arm. You hope that you don't have to see David Peterson, because I don't see the point in running him out there. I don't want to see David Peterson unless it's in another team's uniform or maybe next year.
There's this kid in the minors that I wish he could be in AAA already. His name is T-Wolf. They got it from college, from Tennessee, I think it was, a year ago. Do you remember that kid?
Who?
The pitcher. Some pitcher's in the minors. I think he's in... He's in Double-A. No, T-Wolf, something like that. I forgot his last name, but he came from Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, Dad, so what's your point? Yeah.
Listen, another thing I was going to say, what's the problem with ESPN, like, ranking the Giants, like, to the bottom? Like, my God, like...
Oh, I don't know, Kev. I can't get into the football Giants? Sorry, Kev. I hung up on you there by accident. I thought we were done. But I appreciate you checking in. Always good to hear from you, Kev. You may like Midnight Sal. I ultimately like Daytime Sal, but I like getting home at a decent hour, Sal. But I appreciate you listening whenever I may be on. Anyway, I can't get caught up in the football rankings from ESPN. Truth be told, I haven't even seen it. I'm still trying to get over the scheduling. Black Friday games, Christmas Day games, Thanksgiving games as usual, Christmas Eve games, streaming playoff games. The NFL doesn't care about us. They care about them. They know they got us. There'll be plenty of time to talk about the NFL and the rankings and the scheduling. You know, before you know it, it'll be summer here. And we'll start be looking in, to training camp and all that. Going to be great excitement with Aaron Rodgers, with the Giants coming off of what they did a year ago. But for right now, it's baseball front and center. And especially on this day, where the Yankees and the Mets, both on the same day, have big wins that win them their respective series. Yankees do it up in Toronto, taking 3 of 4. And I loved everything that the captain had to say afterward. Feels weird calling him the captain. Yeah, because there's only one captain. Jeter's the captain. There's only one the captain. Jeter's the captain. Aaron Judge's a captain. and he's a good one, and I love hearing him talk, but he's not the captain. Anyway, Yankees get a huge win, taking 3 of 4 from Toronto. Nestor Cortez was terrific, which was encouraging to see him get, you know, have a good start after he's been struggling a little bit. And the Mets get a, you know, a big-time series win against the best team in baseball. Just when you thought they were dead, you wanted to leave them for dead, they were down and out. They come back 3 times on the Rays on Wednesday. Then they make that win stick with a big performance on Thursday. Alonso hitting another home run, his league-leading 16th home run of the year. Tyler McGill was solid. David Robertson closed it out. They scratched across a couple of runs. They hold on. That was a 2022 Mets-type win, but an enormous series win for them as they now get set to take on the Guardians in a series that will have Carlos Carrasco make his return tonight, and then Scherzer and Verlander going Saturday and Sunday.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Sal, we got it back on the Fan. Keeping an eye on this 4 overtime hockey game. Carolina's on a power play right now. And you know everybody's just like, please, for the love of God, end this. I don't care if we win the series. Just score a goal here. Looking for their team to send them home happy. I mean, it's the... This would be... I mean, think about that. It was bad enough last year, game one of, like I said, the first round with the Rangers going home after 3 overtimes with a loss. You sit there for 4 overtimes, Eastern Conference Final, like you got to be sent home with a win. Even then, you're still like, oh, man, that sucked, sitting there all night long. And these kids are, you can see it in their face. You just want to go home, but imagine going home after a loss. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on that. 15 minutes to go in the 4th overtime. It's just insane. Denver was able to win again. They're up 2 games to none on the Lakers in the NBA's Western Conference Finals. And you know, it was funny. Denver feels disrespected even after game one. Though the Nuggets won, everybody was talking about how the Lakers are going to bounce back. And, oh, they still got it, and they'll go to the finals. And Denver and Jokic just continue to dominate. And we'll see what happens if Denver could get themselves to the finals. Look, once the Knicks got out, I don't really care. I couldn't care less. You know, Celtics, Heat, don't like either of them. I'll probably root for Denver to win it all. I'm not going to root for the Lakers. Young Josh is calling from Passaic. What's up, Young Josh?
Good, Sal. How are you?
How are you? Young Josh, how exactly young are you?
Oh, I'm 15.
Okay. I mean, because you're up kind of late. You know what I mean?
Oh, we don't have school tomorrow.
No, but you call all the time kind of, you know, late at night, right? What's your normal call? Maybe it's a little bit later than normal, but don't you usually call, you know, like midnight, something like that?
Yeah, around then. Usually I go to sleep like right after, like 12:31.
Interesting. I mean, I respect it. I was just curious. I'm trying to think, probably when I was your age, I was watching The Late Show with David Letterman, so I was up kind of late anyway. Well, maybe 11:30, 12:30. Maybe a little bit after that, but all right, I respect it. Anyway, what's on your mind, Young Josh?
Well, first with the Hurricanes, you know, I mean, I stopped watching like midway through the 3rd overtime. It was just getting like it was like one of those fast overtimes. It was just like stagnant, like no fun at all. Like even the power plays were just like moving around. There weren't a lot of shots, and like there was like pretty much action like every 5 minutes, just like. Even, like, the fans, just if they lose, like, that's going to be a really bad feeling. Like, they're not saying anybody score a goal.
Wow, there was just a hell of a save made here. Canes are off the power play. Florida just had a chance to win it. And Anderson made a terrific save. Anyway, yeah, so, I mean, that's probably part of the issue here where the teams aren't doing anything. Nobody wants to make a mistake. And that's why you see so many of these NHL playoff games every year. You know, go to double overtime, triple overtime, and in this case, a 4th overtime.
And with the Mets, with Vogelbach, I mean, he was traded for Holdeman. I saw Holdeman had an immaculate inning. What, like, can you see Danny Vogelbach possibly hitting a cycle? I mean, he had his first triple last year. I mean, you know, my uncle called him, like, the bagel boy, because when you look at him, you just think of bagels.
Interesting. I never thought about that. But, I mean, I guess I could understand it.
Alonzo's just been on fire. I mean, when he hits the ball, he carries it. He just would get to see other hits. But I don't even know. What do you think about Lindor? I know he's a streaky guy, but when's he going to go on the streak where he starts hitting him?
Yeah, that's the problem, young Josh, and thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. They need Lindor to get going, and I don't know what his problem is. Lindor, it has not been a great start to a long-time, long-term relationship between player and organization. Obviously, it was a rough first year for Lindor. It was a great second year for Lindor. But now, again, he's struggling through the first 2 months of year three, and it just can't happen. The Mets are built to have him be a stud. Now, when he gets hot, he will carry this team offensively. He could get that hot. But we're just waiting for it to happen now. I mean, mid-May. All right, April, bad month, fine. Like, when is he going to kick it in a gear exactly here? Now's the time. Let's get going, Frankie. Nothing else matters with the Mets offense if Lindor does not produce. They need him to start doing what they expect him to do. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal, man. I'm so sick to my stomach right now. It has nothing to do with sports, but we get to that. Why? I've been waiting over a month for you to get back to overnight so I can hear from Stuart from Brooklyn his life. And this guy calls on Tuesday night when I'm off of work out of nowhere.
He called in toward the end of the show. We had him and Hector at the same time.
I know. I heard it was some drama. But, Hector over here stealing girlfriends now. This is unbelievable, man. But I got Stuart, though. I got him. You know, I got him on the Rihanna, the Cardi B, and the Megan Fox girl. So, I got him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Let me talk about. So, I want to talk about this NFL thing, but do I kind of mention this prospect stuff or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Real quickly on this. Everybody wants to, every time a team is struggling, dude, it's May. Like, we're acting like it's 20 games under 500 in August right now. And it's always bring the young kids up. And it's like, why do fans think they know more than a Buck Showalter? Like, if they think these kids are good and are ready to play, they're going to have them up. You think they want to just lose games? Like, they're like, oh, let the kids play. Well, you need the grown men to play also. And none of these kids are going to be anywhere near the level of a Lindor. You know, even a Marte. So it's like you're clamoring to have these young kids. It's like, for instance, like I live right next to the Renegades play, and this kid that everyone's talking about who could be in, you know, upcoming Yankees, the Spencer Jones kid. You know, they say, you know, they compare him to like Aaron Judge, like stature. He's big. This kid's like 6'6". So I watched him the other day. I went 2 weeks ago, and I took my son, and they lost like 16-3. And the kid, he struck out three times. And I was talking to the people about this kid, and they said, yeah, he's been struggling this year. And he's struggling in A-ball. You know, it's like, even with Dominguez, he was up second half of the year by me. And supposedly he was tearing up in spring training this year.
He had a big spring.
He's still waiting.
So well, like, look at it, Chris. Look at it with the big leagues, with Volpe, who tore it up in spring training. He's not been tearing it up at the big leagues. Beatty, same thing, down in the minors. He was absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. He's been okay since coming up here, and I'm assuming it's going to be similar with Vientos, who played his first game, hit a big two-run homer, but that doesn't mean that he's going to, you know, produce consistently. So it's the backup quarterback theory as well. It's always you want to see the next guy and who's there and all that stuff. Yep. And doesn't necessarily mean that those guys are going to be better. But I understand wanting to see the unknown, giving it a shot, because the other guys just have not produced.
Yeah, and lastly on this before I get to football, and it's kind of like the bringing the quarterback in right from college and want to throw him on the field. Like, you're going to ruin these kids' confidence right away. And and that's why they know better to keep them down until they're – like Aaron Rodgers, he sat behind Brett Favre for years, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer quarterback. But, look, get into the football. I didn't speak to you about this yet. I'm going to just mention it. I think the NFL are evil human beings when it comes to family. You know, it's really unbelievable at this point. Like, I don't really – you know, the Christmas Day games, I'm checked out completely on that. There's nothing I'm going to do about that. You know, there's no way I'm watching Christmas football on Christmas. My wife will, you know, that's why we have a 55% divorce rate right now. You know, like look, she gets it with Thanksgiving. She understands. In those first couple games, she gets it. The end of the night, I can't say, you know, I have to be locked into Steelers and Ravens right now. She's like, what? She wants, at that point, dinner is over. She wants to relax and watch movies. But now I got a dilemma now with, they're going to throw the Jets now at 3:30 on Friday. First of all, we're sitting home all day eating Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, and I'm going to tell my wife, oh, no, we can't go running around because I got to be locked into Jets football at 3:30 on a Friday. She's going to look at me like, are you serious right now? I said, so I don't know what they're doing. Now the Jets are saying they want to be on Black Friday every year. So I'm at the point like,
did Marco they say that? I didn't see that.
I heard something about the Jets. I heard something the other day the Jets want to be on Black Friday every year now. And I'm like, listen, I don't know what
you mean. Make it like the Lions or Cowboys on Thanksgiving?
I guess they want that to be their new thing.
No way.
I don't care what happens next year. But I'm thinking about this year. I'm gonna have to do what Marco said to do for Christmas. Like, I'm gonna have to literally just record this thing and maybe watch it maybe early Saturday morning. I think my wife might be going to work that Saturday. I'm not even sure. But there's no way I'm gonna tell her. You know, I'm gonna have to be locked in on a Friday at 3:30 to watch football. Like, it's just unbelievable. I don't even know. You know, they're going a little too far at this point. Even the Christmas thing. I get what they're
doing. I hate the idea of it. I hate the idea of it, Chris. And thank you for the call. Appreciate checking in. I hate it. I hate having games on Christmas Eve. I hate having games on Christmas Day. And I don't love the idea of a Black Friday game at 3:30. The reason why it's at 3:30, Jimmy Trana of Sports Illustrated, my buddy, who I do the SI Media podcast with him every week, he explained it to me as somebody explained it to him, Mike North, who does the scheduling. There's some kind of rule on Fridays where you can't compete with high school football, I guess. So that's why that game is at 3:30 as opposed to a primetime game, which would have been fine. Friday night, Black Friday, 8 p.m., fine. Now, maybe the argument is, and I'm going to have to make it work because it's obviously part of my job, and I do really want to watch the Jets. I just don't want to watch them on Black Friday when I'm trying to maybe enjoy a holiday. I mean, I have no idea what my work schedule is going to be, whatever, but you could at least say, all right, honey, I'll watch this game now, and then we'll have the night together, and you could watch whatever movie at night. All right, fair enough, because otherwise it would be you go out during the day or you do whatever during the day, and then you watch the game at night. So this will just be the opposite of that. Christmas, though, is a non-starter. Like, come on. And even Thanksgiving, like last year with the Giants on Thanksgiving, the games are on, but I'm not locked in. See, that's the biggest problem that I have. Normal people who I guess don't either live and die with every possession like most of us do or don't have to do it for a living, like they could just have the game on in the background, watch a little bit of it, keep up with the score. Oh, look at that nice play. Oh, what's the score? And it's not a big deal. For me, I need to be locked in to every play. What's going on in the game? How did this happen? Why'd they do that? And on Thanksgiving, I can't do that. It's impossible. I don't care who's playing. It's an impossibility. Maybe if they had a night game, maybe, then I could lock in. Christmas, forget it. Same thing. You'll watch it. It'll be on. I can't be locked into it on a holiday that I'm spending with my family. It just doesn't work. I do think the NFL has gotten to a point of just total disrespect and care. Now, look, maybe I'm overreacting to this. Maybe most people don't really care about it. Hey, well, what's the difference? I'll watch the game. But I gave you the factors that I want to watch, I have to watch, and I can't watch. Those are the issues. Or I at least can't watch the way that I'd like to. Dom is calling from Atlantic City. What's up, Dom?
What was that, Coach?
Hey, Dom. I'm not sure what's going on right there. Put Dom on hold. Maybe he get back to us. John is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Yeah, how you doing? Great hearing from you all the time, as usual. But I had an issue. Well, last week we spoke, and it was regarding Scherzer supposed to have his start, and then he missed it because he was allegedly hurt. You know, and I'm a huge Mets fan. And what I noticed was what they tried to do, even though this is a bad start, But people got to calm down because it's only a quarter of the season played. There's still like 80-plus games to be played. You know, 100-plus games to be played. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you go 500 for the month. You can still be gained. Like, a stat that I look at was Cleveland finished the first month of last season 19-23, and they still ended up with 92 wins and in the playoffs. So I just tell fans, you know, their level of fandom, you know, if you're that kind of fan, just calm down on the way the match started. You know, this baseball is baseball for a reason.
You can overreact, John. You're right. You're being logical. And a lot of times fans are illogical. I get that. Look, I'm illogical. So I understand where most fans are coming from, right? So we like to overreact. We like to be illogical at times. We don't need to be level-headed and responsible. That's not what we do as fans. However, to take it to the extremes that it gets taken to, that's where it's ridiculous. Fire Balk, fire Epler, the Mets are done. Yeah. Like, come on now. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you something. When Buck took the Yankees, I think it was it 94 before he was fired? How many games did he win before he was fired?
Well, 95, they went to the postseason against the Mariners.
He took them to the playoffs in 95?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So they were in the playoffs. Okay.
Remember they lost that first round. Remember they lost that first round series to the Mariners.
The Mariners, yeah, James Buehner and them, yeah. Okay. I'm a big time Mets fan, and my level of fandom goes back to '86. You know, Doc and Darryl brought me in, and I've been there ever since. And I'm gonna keep saying it. Pete Alonso will get 60-plus this year. And then if we don't get Shohei to be our lefty power bat for the next 10 years with Pete Alonso, you know, there's going to be a problem. Because we need somebody to come. We need someone to come. You see who they have behind him now. They got Beatty behind him now. First they put McNeil. Now they have Beatty behind him. He has no real protection. You know, that's the thing I'm worried about this lineup, and especially since Lindor hasn't woken up yet, you know. So I'm definitely worried, but I'm not giving up because, you know, this is a great team. And the pitching has to wake up.
Yeah, I think they all need to wake up, John. And thank you so much for the call. We appreciate listening and appreciate taking the time to give us a call. I'm not going to call them a great team. They were a very, very good team a year ago. They have the potential to be a good team again this year, but they haven't been just yet. We'll worry about Ohtani next year. I do think, I've said this consistently, I do think the Mets are going to have the biggest offer for Ohtani. Will he accept it or not? That's a different story. But for this year's team, you know, they need more offense. Beatty, maybe he does turn into that five-hole hitter. We'll see. But for now, you know, they got to get Lindor going. They got to get Marte going. These are things that if the Mets want to get back to where they were a year ago, if they want to legitimately contend for the division, they're going to have to get these guys going. And the rotation as well, you mentioned it. I get the feeling that the rotation is going to start to now stabilize and things are going to go their way. Where you had Senga on Wednesday dominate, you had Tyler McGill give a good start. That's two back-to-back good starts. Maybe Carrasco tonight returning against his former team can shock the world and give a decent start for a change. And then you got Max and Verlander. Both due for big performances in a back-to-back situation.
Go for it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Can you believe this hockey game is still going on? 3 minutes to go in the fourth overtime. But come on, dude. It's 2 a.m. And this damn thing, not for me, I really couldn't care less. I'm going to bed either way, but I feel bad for the people who were there. This cannot be good. This is more exhausting than exhilarating. There have been some good moments here just watching along with it. It's just, I don't know. To me, it's not a good quality about the sport, and people rave and rant about it all the time. Oh, it's great, and oh my God, do you believe that triple overtime or quadruple overtime? Yeah, I do believe it, as a matter of fact, because it happens every freaking year. Trying to see what's going to happen first. Is this game going to be all? This game going to end in the next 2 minutes, or am I going to end? I know I'm ending in the next 5 minutes or so. Hector is calling from Washington Heights. Good morning, Hector.
Sal, good morning, my dude. How we doing?
Good, Hector. How are you?
Honestly, a little exhausted with my Mets fan base, but excited, happy about, I guess, yesterday's game now and the last two games. Looking forward to the weekend. Hoping that we can.
Are you going? Are you going Saturday?
I'm not sure yet. I really want to because I know you're going to be there and there's a couple of other people that are going to be there that I'd like to see, but I'm not so sure right now. I would have to ditch my softball team to go there.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And by the way, the weather's supposed to be, I mean, at least the last that I checked, I got to text my buddy Jeff, who we heard from before, and see what's up for the weather for Saturday, but it's not supposed to be good, at last I checked.
Is that so? I haven't even looked at the weather yet. Well, I mean, if there's any question in the weather, then the Mets have a better chance of playing than we do so, because, you know, we don't have a ground crew. So that might make the decision for me, you know what I mean? But I want to go. You know, I like going to these games, especially if people that I vibe with are going to be there. I mean, I vibe with anyone there for the most part.
Have you invited Nicole to your softball games?
Oh, I have not invited Nicole to my softball games.
Because that's like next level. Once you invite Nicole in Ronkonkoma, if you invite her to your softball games, now we're really like, that's next level stuff.
I don't know if I invited her. I think I kind of did to a baseball game. But she was going to the Mets game, and I played baseball on Sundays in Evans League. That plays about 10 minutes from City Field. It's in College Point. So I knew she was going to the baseball game. I said,
Evan still does that Twitter baseball thing?
Yeah, but he barely shows up. But yeah, the league still runs. Him and Chris, Balzano. I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name. He helps him run it, and, you know, we go out there and have fun every Sunday. You should come out one day.
Wow. Where is it?
Should you like to know about Nicole so much? I'll tell you this. Buck ruined, what do they call it? A kind of a serendipity type meeting between me and Nicole today. Because I found out later in the day she was thinking of going to the game. She decided not to go. Same like me. I saw the lineup. I was depressed. But since I'm sick, I ended up going anyways. And I was in there like the fifth inning. But I could have.
You should go. You should go. Don't let the lineup. Come on, Hector. You're all worried about the lineup. And thank you for the call. I want to get more people in here before we say goodbye. You're worried about the lineup and you're not going to the game because of it? I'm glad you went. Hopefully we see you out there Saturday. Come on, go support the team. You can't get worried about the. Don't get worked up about the lineup here. One lineup going to go nuts. Look at this. The Panthers win it. The Panthers win it. In four overtimes with, was there under a minute to go? The Panthers win it and they are going home in Carolina after sitting there for four overtimes. They are going home sad. And that makes me happy. Wow, the Florida Panthers, four overtimes. At the end of the fourth overtime, score the game winner. Was it Tkachuk who scored that? I remember your father, kid. Dom is calling from Atlantic City. What's up, Dom?
That was so funny. That was so funny. Some kid turned 10 and got tickets to this game to go with his dad. I'm going to the game. And he just watched his team lose at 2 in the morning. Now they're going to drive home. Just like brutal. The worst drive of his life.
That is
so
brutal. I actually feel bad for the young kids there because I can empathize
with
my nephew.
Yeah, I know, but it's still pretty damn funny. I mean, oh my God.
That's sports for you, right, Dom? I mean, that's sports for you.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's how it goes, man. Like, what? It's going to be soft? Like, tough break, man. Like, you lose games. That's how it is. You know, speaking of losing games, how about Philly just losing everything? I'm here in South Jersey, and there's nothing like
I'm just collecting newspapers of them losing stuff. I'm going to put it up in my wall in my basement. Wall of shame for these guys. So all my Eagle friends come to see it every day.
You're going to have a problem, though, Dom, and thank you for the call, because the Eagles aren't going to be losing a lot. John is calling from Queens. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? Good job with your show. You know, the only thing I want to bring up, I know I'm not defending him, but Vogelback. I remember Gary Cohen saying on the air one time that, you know, a couple of years ago, he was on the All-Star team. He hit like 29 home runs and stuff
Vogelback
like that.
He was a one-time All-Star. I think it was with the Brewers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, and he's the first, and it says, I looked it up on a phone, I couldn't find the stats, but said he's the first baseman. You know, sometimes when a guy just does a DH, it gets kind of stale. If you don't play the field, that's what happens with Stanton on the Yankees.
He was an All-Star. He was an All-Star with Seattle, not with Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's what I thought he said. You know, I know the guy's a major league professional player. He can't be that bad. You know, I mean, it's not easy to make it to the major leagues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about him in comparison to you or I. We're talking about him in comparison to actual major league players.
If
you do want to compare him to me, and thank you for the call, John, I'll tell you this. I can run better. I can field better. And I might even be able to swing better. Because I'm not going up there looking for walks, you know what I mean? I'm not going to say I can hit for a higher average or hit for more power. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Fielding, yes. Throwing, yes. Running, yes. Being more aggressive at the plate, absolutely. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is you're comparing him to other major leaguers. You know what Daniel Vogelback is? He's a good Oakland A. He's the guy that's going to get on base for a team that can't afford to go get real players. The Mets can afford to get real players. Vogelback's not one of them. I'm sorry. And I've given you the reasons why. There's not picking on him. I like him. I would root for him. I am rooting for him. He just doesn't do anything. Guy's got 2 home runs. 2. It's mid-May. Anyway, that does it for us. Thanks to Alex's arm. Thanks to Connor Green. Thanks to everybody who called and listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Be back again a little bit later on, filling in for Carton with Evan at 2 p.m. We'll see you then. Have a good Friday.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.